Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we would love to call and have you call and speak directly with us right now. If you have a Bible question, perhaps something you're struggling with, well, we'd love to talk about it with you right now. That toll-free number is 844-322-2742. That, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. We encourage you to call now, 844-322-2742. If you're listening overnight on CSN or Sirius XM, you can get your question to us by voicemail at the same number in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Did you have a nice weekend?
Had a wonderful weekend. Very, very quiet. I cooked for the first time a big meal, had some of the family over, and it was wonderful. I couldn't believe that I did it.
But you did.
But I did.
Excellent,
yes.
Excellent.
How about you? You had a good one?
We did. We had a great weekend. Spent a lot of time with my grandson, Kai, and took him to the driving range. He's 2 years old, and we had a great time. And then sat down and read him a book last night, and we got about halfway finished, and he looked at me and then looked at the book and grabbed the page and turned it over and said, "The end." He had had enough. So,
as I say, you're raising a character.
We are raising a character indeed. But this week we're going to talk about lies, the lies that people hold in their hearts and in their minds concerning the grace of God. I did a devotional last week about six common misconceptions or six common lies that we hold about the grace of God. And I thought, let's talk about them on the radio broadcast.
Sure.
So today is lie number one or misconception number one. And here it is. Grace is necessary only for salvation. So we know that we need to be saved by grace, that this salvation thing is too big for us to participate. The only thing we can do is receive the gift. And we know that based on Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For it is by grace that we are saved through faith. It is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone boast.
Right.
So this salvation is something that we receive. But once we receive it, then we move on from the grace of God.
We grow.
And yes, it's almost like grace is kind of the first grade class curriculum. Once we've passed first grade, then we go on to bigger and better things.
Yeah.
Well, that's a misconception. There's nothing bigger, there's nothing better than the grace of God. And this grace of God is a reality that hangs with us, that is our life, that is a part of all that we do from start to finish as far as this Christian life is concerned. But here's what people think. Many believers think that they needed God's grace for salvation, but now that they are saved, living the Christian life is up to them. So they lean into rules and regulations to guide their lives, and this does nothing but lead them into legalistic bondage. So they're leaning into the grace of God to be saved, and then they lean into their own understanding as far as the Christian life is concerned. Paul put it this way in Galatians 3, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law, or by hearing with faith?" We know the answer to that. It's by hearing with faith. "Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" So that's this lie right here, that we think grace is only necessary for salvation. Once we're saved, then we move to human effort. It's up to us. The responsibility is on our shoulders to live the Christian life. That's why so many people are messed up. They are holding this misconception in their heart about the grace of God.
Yeah.
Well, if you're holding this misconception in your heart today, if you're believing that grace is only there for salvation, that it's the door, and once you enter the door, you leave grace behind and go on to bigger and better things, would you let go of that lie? Mm-hmm. Because it's not setting you free. Yeah. It is putting you in bondage. It is putting you in bondage to human effort. It is putting you in bondage to rules and regulations. And whenever you are trying to live the Christian life according to rules and regulations, according to law, then you're going to put yourself on a grading system. You're going to constantly be grading how you're doing. At the end of the day, you're going to say, how well did I do? Well, nobody's going to give themselves an A+. No one's going to, if they're smart and if they're honest, they're not even going to give themselves an A. I mean, it's going to be a C pushing it if you push it. But you're constantly grading yourself. And with those low grades, you're going to start feeling guilty. And then you redouble your efforts. I'm going to try harder tomorrow. And then at the end of the day, you grade yourself. And then not only do you grade yourself on how well you're doing up against the rules and the regulations, you start to grade everybody else. So you start pointing fingers. And what you're hoping to do is to find people that are making a lower grade than you are, so that you can feel better about yourself as a Christian. At least I'm not as bad as.
Yeah.
At least I'm doing it better than. And you can fill in the blanks with people that you would know right now. Well, we've got to get rid of the grading system. Jesus has gotten rid of the grading system. He has perfected us in by the grace of God, and he has given us the grace of God to empower us to live as children of God. So grace is from beginning to end. And then let me just read this passage out of Ephesians chapter 2. What we're going to find here is that, so that in the coming ages, this is Ephesians 2:7, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So when we go to be with the Lord and everything has been made right, guess what? We're going to stand as trophies of God's grace. Mm-hmm. So the grace that saved us will be a shining light that goes forth from us throughout all eternity. So it's grace from beginning, in the middle, and in the end. It's grace, grace, grace.
Wonderful news, Bob. Thanks for sharing that. And friends, thank you for being with us. We have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 844-322-2742. And Bob, so much of what you were talking about plays into what I want to talk about right now. And that is to our friends. Friends, if the Christian life is a struggle for you or for someone close to you, there is a reason for it. Many sincere, well-meaning, true believers in Jesus Christ have been taught that we must do our best for God, try harder, be better. But is that what the Bible really teaches? Well, not really. The Bible teaches that there is no way we can perform well enough or be good enough to satisfy the righteous requirements of God. So, friends, where does that leave you? Well, what we're going to do with that Christian life, that's the answer. If this describes you, it's time to let go of all of your struggles to please God and understand that Jesus has already done everything to satisfy God, and he has given the credit to your account. It's all explained in Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And we want to send you a copy to say thanks for stepping up and standing with us with your gift to support Basic Gospel in this month of August. Click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and request your copy. Then think about those in your realm of influence. Someone else might need to hear about the truth of God's grace in Jesus Christ. Order a couple of additional copies to share. There's a website set up especially for extra orders at SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. That's a long name, but it's all strung together. SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. We hope you'll take advantage of that.
Yes, indeed. And I was one of those folks that held to misconception number one concerning the grace of God.
Right.
I believe that the grace of God was simply the door that I entered into, and that once I entered into this salvation, then I left grace behind, and I really latched on to rules and regulations, and boy, I graded myself every single day. How well am I doing to live the Christian life? And I had a goal. I wanted to be God's guy. And if I met the standards, then I could be God's guy. Well, I never met the standards. So that's what this book is about. It is going to really bust this misconception to smithereens. Yeah. So grab a hold of this book. Don't miss this opportunity. Get one for you. Get one for a friend. Let's spread the word that God's grace is there for us day in, day out, 24/7, 365.
Absolutely. 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you, friends, on this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. And again, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines and talk to Mary Jo listening to us in Louisville. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. My question is this. What's the meaning of the woman at the well with Jesus?
Well, there's a couple of meanings to that. One, she was a Samaritan, and Jesus went through Samaria because he had an appointment, a divine appointment set by God the Father with this particular woman at the well. Now, his disciples were up in arms that they were going through Samaria, and then they were up in arms that he would actually talk to this Samaritan woman. So there was a hatred, Mary Jo, between the Samaritans and between the Jews, the people of Israel. So the Samaritans, they were basically folks who had intermingled with the Assyrians back in, you know, like 700 BC or somewhere around there. And so they had Gentile blood in them and they had Jewish blood in them. So they stood as a despised group of people. But God showed his love through Christ toward the Samaritans in this conversation with this woman. Two, it's talking about this well. So she's going to the well to bring up water. Well, water is a source of life for you and me, isn't it? We can't survive in this world without water. And so he's going to make the case that he really is the living water. And if somebody would partake of him, then they are going to be satisfied. And he really kind of unravels her story, kind of picks it apart, and reveals to her that she's not a happy camper. She is dissatisfied. She's gone through five husbands, and the person she's living with now is not even her husband, and she still hasn't found contentment. So the story is the only place to find contentment is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we must worship God in spirit and in truth. Well, in worshiping God in spirit and truth, it means that we are trusting, finding our source of life, our source of contentment, our source of joy in the person of Jesus Christ. Well, this really captured her heart and her mind. She was so taken by this conversation, she went into her village and she told everybody in her village about Jesus, and they all came out to see, and the whole village believed in him because of that woman's testimony. So that's the story. So Jesus is saying, and he's saying to us today, if you want to find true life, if you want to find true contentment, if you want to find true joy in this world, there's only one place to find it, and it is in Jesus Christ.
Let me ask you this. A friend of mine said she preached. Once she heard the message, she preached it to the people. But I believe she witnessed to the people. Is there a difference?
Well, I think she just went and told them what she saw. Yeah, so I don't think she stood up on a stage and preached a sermon. I just think she went and said, "Hey, I've met this person who told me everything about myself, and come and see." And so they came out, and when they met with Jesus, they believed that indeed he was the Savior. So they had personal encounters with Jesus Christ, just as she had a personal encounter. She went back and told them about it, and that's what we do in our conversations in life. And then in telling people, then they can have a personal encounter with Jesus.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Well, thanks, Mary Jo. Thanks for your call, and thanks for that nice gift that you sent in. We sure appreciate your well wishes and your thoughts about us. We really appreciate that.
Yes, we do.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you, Mary Jo.
Take care.
God bless.
Yeah. 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Christina is watching us on our Facebook feed. We webcast to Facebook
yes.
and to YouTube, and we love the people who watch us every day, and we can interact through our comment bar there. So she writes this, I'm struggling with the distraction of our political climate. I know I should not focus on this, but it is so hard.
Yeah.
And I think everybody that lives here in the United States is probably struggling with that same distraction. We are such a divided country right now, and the divide is getting broader and broader and broader. That gap between the left and the right keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that. So it's easy to get distracted by what is happening politically, especially in an election season. Now, what's interesting is how many people are saying this is the most important election we've ever had in the United States.
In the history of ever.
In the history of ever. And so when you hear things like that, when you hear something like that, it really is a statement that sucks you into the political chaos, the political mess. And then you think, man, I got to do something. If this is the most important, then I got to do everything that I can to help control the outcome, mm-hmm. to help move the outcome in the direction that I think it needs to go. And do we need to be involved in politics? Well, yeah, politics is a part of life. We need to bring the gospel to bear in the political realm of this world in which we live. But I think we need to step back as believers and say, no, the last election, they said the same things, the most important election that we will ever have. Back in the 70s and 80s, I heard the same thing back then. This is the most important election that we will ever have here in the United States. Well, we have to realize that we have a greater hope, and our hope is not in a political party. Our hope is not in a political candidate. Our hope is in Jesus. And we know that Jesus is doing his work in this world today, regardless of which political party is going to be in power at any given time. If the left gets into power, that doesn't mean Jesus is going to stop doing his work. He reconciled the world unto himself. He is working through his body, those who have confessed with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and have believed in their hearts that God raised him from the dead. He is working through that group of people, his body, to extend the invitation to people out there in the world to be reconciled to God, to receive the gift of salvation, and to begin walking in the newness of life. So regardless of what party is in power, Jesus Christ is still going to be at his task. He is still going to be carrying out his work in and through us. So that's important to know. And so when we step back and we see, wait a minute, our hope is in Jesus, and he is going to continue to the work that he began through us in this world, then it puts us at ease. We don't get so caught up in the chaos of what's going on politically in this country, and really what's going on around the world. I think one of the things we are seeing in this particular election is some really stark differences between platforms and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And some of that is overriding. I mean, it's being overlaid over the political process. But we're seeing kind of the work of the enemy to move the souls of men and women away from truth. We see a suppression of the truth. And so as believers, I think also that puts a deeper resolve in us, not to fight necessarily for a political party, but to fight for the gospel.
Yes.
To take a stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that is where truth is to be found. That is where the righteousness of God has been revealed. That is where we get on the right side of history when we believe the truth concerning Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. We will love hearing from you, our listeners. Linda writes that she is confused regarding men and women living together without going before a church body to take vows and commit to God and to each other. She asks, is it a disappointment to Christ to live together without taking those vows?
Well, I think you want to take those vows. I think you want to say to the person that you're marrying that I am leaving my old life and I am cleaving to you and I want to become one flesh and I want to serve you for the rest of my life. And I think it's important to say that and to say that in front of friends and in front of people, brothers and fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. This idea of living together, certainly it has become a popular idea and a trend in the last probably 30 or 40 years. People want to try out the relationship before they make a commitment. But we're not understanding what that trial run is doing, the emotional damage that does. So if a guy says to a woman, let's move in together, and the woman says yes, the guy has just put the woman in a very precarious situation. There is no security undergirding that relationship. The guy can turn and walk out at any moment, and the woman can do the same. Well, what happens then? Well, it just means you've engaged in a relationship that didn't work out. You've engaged in premarital sex, and if that relationship ends, now you're going to find somebody else, and say you get married to this other person. Well, now you've already cheated on this other person in the fact that you've lived with somebody else beforehand. Mm-hmm. So that's why the Bible says this sexual relationship is sacred, and it should only be carried out within the bonds of a sacred marriage. One man, one woman for life. That's how God originally designed it. And we, as children of God, because we've been given new hearts, because we've been given the gift of God's Spirit, we're equipped to carry out God's original design and experience the full joy, the full blessing of marriage, just as God intended.
Absolutely. Well, we're just about out of time, and friends, we want to say thanks. And, you know, this month we've been celebrating the 5th anniversary of Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Life can be a struggle, as Bob has been saying, and if you've been struggling with doing all the right things for God, you'll be glad to hear that as you make your gift in August, we're going to support Basic Gospel, we're going to send you a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace to show you the way out of the bondage of performance. If you've read it, we hope you're resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ and realize that others need to hear the same message of freedom in Him. Make your gift today by clicking donate at basicgospel.net and request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Then go back and click the banner at the homepage, or you can go to simplegospelsimplygrace.com to order additional copies to share with family and friends, those that you care about. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, how the Christian life is really supposed to work. We hope that you will share this great message of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Simplegospelsimplygrace.com is the website. Well, thanks for being with us again today, everybody. Please remember that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, and we deeply appreciate your prayers and gifts to help us keep the good news coming every day. You can make your gift anytime at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your cordial invitation to join us again tomorrow, same time, same station, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.